The Fire and Emergency has released a review into their response during the Auckland floods and Cyclone Gabrielle. It found Fens lacked specialist response equipment, training and preparedness to effectively handle the disaster. During the Auckland floods, firefighters without boats were going into neck-deep water to rescue people from their homes. While during Cyclone Gabrielle, crews were forced to borrow a rowing club's dinghy to help rescue multiple people where the water levels were too high. Joining us for more on this now is Fire and Emergency National Commander Russell Wood. Kia ora, good morning.
Kia ora, Ingrid. Good to speak with you.
So, a fairly comprehensive report there detailing what a lack of planning, training and equipment. Is it fair to say Fens was woefully unprepared for weather emergencies like these?
I think, Ingrid, what I would say at the start is our thoughts are still with the communities and the people in those communities that were so severely impacted, and our thoughts remain with them as they recover. But also, I think the report talks about the absolute great job our people did when they responded with skill, ingenuity, determination and empathy. And like our people do, they go above and beyond, and many, as you've said, they had to improvise at times. We commissioned this review because we wanted to learn from it. It had found some areas that we do need to work on and improve on, and around things like planning, training and equipment, specifically as it relates to severe weather-related events. And I don't think anyone needs reminding, these were somewhat out-of-scale events, so quite challenging for us.
Your staff, though, were let down in turn, weren't they? Because they didn't have the support, the equipment that they needed. So their job, a difficult job, was made more difficult by a lack of planning.
You know, I think we're trying to build our capability, and, you know, the report also talks about, makes a distinction in our legislation between our main functions and our additional functions. So, as you would expect, our main functions centre around firefighting and structures and wildfires, hazardous substance response, motor vehicle crashes and urban search and rescue. And then actually severe weather event responses in our additional functions. And what the Act says is that we can build capability and capacity in those additional function areas, but it shouldn't be at the expense of our ability to deliver against our main function. So we take that on board, and we were starting to build, for example, in our specialist water rescue teams. But, you know, the weather conspired against us, and we were only in very embryonic stages, but that's been developed further since these events.
I take your point, because I see in that in the report it says this is not a main fire and emergency function. So how do you manage that, given that there are obviously resources needed for the staff, the training, the equipment to deal with the weather emergencies, which are going to happen more and more often, when it's not considered a quote, main function?
Well, I think this is our new reality, and perhaps the country's new reality, Ingrid, that these types of events will become more frequent and much more severe. So how do we, the question is, how do we balance then our efforts, our capability development, so that we can ensure that we're there when the public call us? I mean, I want to be really clear, the public won't distinguish between main and additional functions, and we get that. We just want to be there and available for them when they call in their time of need. And what I would say is that we have we are a national organisation, so we have a lot of people and resource spread across the country, and that's one of the benefits of being a national organisation, that we can take trained and skilled people in fire trucks and utes and vans, and we can deploy them across the different main functions and additional functions.
But looking at some of the specific failures that were pointed out, not having a pre-prepared trigger function for when everyone kicks into action for a weather event, that was missing. Has that been remedied?
Well, I think a good example of what we've undertaken in that area is last week's impending weather in the South Island. And I know our region and district leadership teams were gathering very early on when that became apparent. And we're starting to pre-position people and assets in areas that were forecast to be impacted. So yeah, I think we have come on since last year.
What about the issues with the 111 system and communication issues there?
I'm not sure what you're referring to in the 111 system. That we, you know, we don't run the 111 system. If you're talking about our communications centre staff, again, they were put under extreme pressure. You know, quite frankly, the demand outstripped supply, and they felt that very keenly. And we, as we know, in places like Tairawhiti and even in the Hawke's Bay, we lost telecommunications more generally.
So has an alternative or a robust system been put in place of that?
Well, during and since, we've deployed, you know, technology like Starlink, for example, to try and lift the resilience. The other thing that I think will be very valuable going forward is the delivery of what's called the public safety network, and that'll be a new digital and mobile radio network and a more resilient and better coverage cellular network for emergency responders.
Okay. What about the boats? You had to borrow dinghies to get to people in flooded areas.
Well, I think we're always going to be having to work with partners who have expertise in this area, and some fantastic work was undertaken at the time with Surf Life Saving, for example.
So has that relationship been solidified? Because it was also, you know, the equipment was hired from service stations as well. So when you talk about partners, that's fairly ad hoc. Is there something more substantive in place?
Well, it's a balancing act between what sort of core capability we wish to build. And since the events from last year, we now have six specialist water rescue teams strategically located, and we deploy them either in advance or in response to an event. But we'll continue that discussion with people like police and Surf Life Saving, for example, about how we can join up our respective capabilities so it doesn't all fall on one agency.
Okay, so you don't the teams, do they have boats, or you're still having to borrow those?
No, they have boats.
They have boats, okay. And the other equipment, the search and rescue fleet, was also short and in some places unreliable. What's happening with that?
Well, since the events, we've started to allocate particularly, you know, protective clothing, et cetera, more suitable to these types of events to our urban search and rescue teams, including, you know, personal safety locators and mobility devices. So, yeah, we've started that process.
Vehicles as well?
We didn't want to wait until the report came out. So we started to move on things from our early observations of our own.
Sure. They have vehicles as well, new vehicles, or the number needed?
So we're now reviewing what our ancillary fleet needs to look like. So I'm not talking about fire trucks. I'm talking about sort of utes and SUVs, et cetera. So that work is also underway. And again, it's
work underway, but those vehicles haven't been procured yet?
Not the new ones. They're not that far away for urban search and rescue.
Just finally, if there were to be another event like this today or tomorrow, would you be better prepared? What assurances can you give to the public and to your staff?
Well, the assurance I can give to the public is that Foreign Emergency will be there when they need us. I think we are better prepared. We have learned already from those events last year, but we'll continue to work to develop the required capability and the capacity that we need, and that will take a bit of time, but I think we are in a better place than when we were in 2023.
Appreciate your time this morning. That is Fire and Emergency National Commander Russell Wood there.